My name is Andrew Weed. I'm with Mindbank AI, and I am the Director of Infrastructure and Security. I have a background in security since 2007. I've been working, I joined the military in the US military in 2007. And so I had a start out in the military and worked with three-letter agencies at the top of the security chain, and pretty much got my start in the deep end, if you will. And then from there,
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, this guy, this brother's name is as cool as he is, and I think, you know, he'll think I've just put my hat on because he, you know, I had to flip it to the back because I knew he was going to come like that. I usually like to let you guys know the A's are in the building, Oakland all day, but Andrew Weed is going to give us the game on just, I mean, what type of... I'll be honest with you guys. Andrew Weed, he's here in America, but I'm gonna see if I can get him to come to Africa. And we're gonna take that hat, put a different, you know, hat on him, because he's just a different type of person. He's gonna give us the game on how he started, sustained, succeeded. He said I can't embarrass him on here, but I'm telling you guys, the brother is nice, cold. And this is how he was at CES, just doing the business. So welcome to the show, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate it. Appreciate the warm welcome. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, tell, you know, for you, because I really see you like a public speaker. I know you at Mindbank, you're doing your thing, but I see you like, you're like an outlier who could really connect with the kids, that 14-year-old who's listening right now saying, how do I love, you know, being online. I want to learn more. I'm going to call you a hacker in a good way, but you are really, tell the people how you began, you know, your knowledge, because it's so much. We can't get into it all right now. So you guys, take your pen and your pad and rewind. Give us the game, Andrew.
All right. So pretty much I'm gonna start from Mindbank, because that's where my passion and love is. So I'm going to start at what Mindbank is. So Mindbank, I'm the Director of Architecture and Security. But really, I'm also a co-founder. So it's all about vision at Mindbank. And we have a 50-year vision, 100-year vision. We're trying to build the future that we want. And it's a far down the way future. So we start now pretty much. So at Mindbank, we are building a digital twin of a human. And we're using AI and blockchain technologies to ensure privacy and safety. And that's kind of where I come in, is the safety and then the architecture of the entire system. So my background started 2007. I joined the military in the US and went to some three-letter agencies and worked there. So dove into the deep end, into the information security field. And then from there, I just kind of did my own research and learning and got into the blockchain space 2010, 2011. So I've been just researching edge technologies for my whole career, really, and from the security perspective. And so really what the whole story started with security in the military, and then that's moved into the private sector where I did, and this was offensive security. So I was actually hacking. And then I went into the defensive side when I got out of the military. I've been all over, from offensive security, defensive security. I've been IT security or IT management. I've been in the enterprise security space. I've been in the startup security space. And so I've got a breadth of knowledge in security. And the move into Mindbank was kind of an obvious move for me. It's when you're building a digital twin of a human, you've got to think about the most private information possible and securing that information, but still leaving it accessible to everyone around the globe. And so that's kind of where we're moving with Mindbank, is we're trying to make it, make this capability available to everyone around the globe, all without breaking privacy issues. So like if it was to be stored on, like your Facebook or any traditional Web2 application that stores your information on someone else's servers, we are using blockchain to bring the power back to the individual. So privacy and security all the way through and through. And then I'm all about empowering the individual, the human, regardless of where you're from, regardless of what your language is. We're moving into multiple, we're already across 20 different languages and trying to globalize that even more. I'm all about improving humanity and doing that through technology and empowering the individual as opposed to the establishment.
We're going to go deep on MindBank in 1 second, but I want somebody to know, like, you know, okay, military, but you also went to college. How, you know, for that person who says, I know this stuff already, how important is it? Or is it important? Is it necessary? Because you hear both sides. I didn't need college. I learned it on my own. You know, which one do you, would you say right now for the majority of people?
So for the majority of people, I would say that college is a great thing because college helps guide you and sort of it effectively gives you a curriculum to follow. But that's for a lot. I would recommend that for the masses, mainly people that don't have strong convictions and know exactly what they want right now. But you'll meet those people too. There's people who are like, you know what, I'm ready to hit it. I know what my goal is and I'm going to go for it. Those kinds of people, I would just say college isn't necessary. College is a great tool. College is a wonderful thing for the majority of people and to help give them a breadth of knowledge and lead them down the right track with that good baseline. But if you're a fire starter and you are ready to start your fire and you know exactly where you're aiming, just drive there. Don't worry about college. Hustle. So if you know what to hustle towards that. If you don't know what to hustle towards, hustle in college, because then you'll learn everything else.
Okay, that's good game, because again, you know, there are certain people who are geniuses who don't need college, some of the richest people
in
the
world. I don't have a degree.
Yeah, who don't, but you know, and I tell people, hey, my way, I just was talking to a possible teaching position, you know, doing something remotely for a university. Without my master's, that conversation probably would not have happened. And yep. it is what it is. Yep. Now, with MindBank, break it down for the end user, because they might now just be hearing about ChatGPT and saying, oh, I know what that is. And thinking, yeah, you're talking about cloning and AI, it's all the same. So break it down, please.
Got you. So end user, we keep it as simple as possible, actually. So the end user, all you see from MindBank is an app that you get from the Google Play or Apple Store, super easy. And then the interface to the app is just questions and answers. So we open up and it's voice even, so it's super easy. You open up the app, it asks you private questions, like journals type questions. So anything from how's your day to what does love mean to you? What is the importance of money? Very, very deep, like family-like questions. You can answer these questions with your voice in your native tongue. And effectively what we're doing is we're storing your answers and we're analyzing them using machine learning and AI capabilities, but the user doesn't need to worry about much of this. We just provide the dashboard for all of the analysis we did on your responses. So sentiment analysis, word count analysis, we're getting into vocal analysis. So the tone of your voice and feeling, getting a sense for how you're feeling based on that. And we get all of these data points and we collect them all together and then we put them on a dashboard and then provide you that dashboard. So you just get questions asked and answer the questions. And then we provide you a dashboard of your mental state throughout the entire time of you answering those questions. It's kind of like having a smart diary that can respond back to you about how you're feeling. And that's hit me.
Oh no, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Cool. Yeah. So that's like the short term immediate user benefit right now, is that it's kind of like being able to speak to a diary and have the diary give you a dashboard of how you're feeling. The long term view, like I said in the beginning, we're all about the long view, in fact, is that as you imagine doing this and you submit to this diary that you can imagine you would do on a semi-frequent basis, as you do that over the course of a decade or two, What we're going to do is we're going to take all of that information and then build a model around it. And that model is effectively making a version of Siri, but it only has your information in it. So as you move forward in the future, you can ask yourself questions that only you would be able to answer. It will only answer in the way that you could answer because it's only got your information in it. And then when you pass on, you can provide that capability to whoever you want. So imagine your children, and then your lineage can live on forever. Or in the case of like Steve Jobs, imagine being able to ask an employee at Apple, another executive, being able to ask Steve Jobs questions about design decisions or whatever, still to this day, and then have him be able to respond back to you based on only information that he had ever provided to this system.
Now, two things, because one, some folks will say, hey, there's some things in my past I want to leave in the past. I don't want anybody to know, right? Everybody would be canceled in the future, which it's looking like it's happening now. You know, can those things be erased? And also, will the technology, will your answers mature? Because it's like if you go back, you know, Steve Jobs, and if he was talking about, hey, remember when MySpace? And now MySpace, you know, the kids now won't know what that is unless they do the research. So yeah. Will it be able to stop some things from being said? And then will it mature?
Yeah, so it would mature and grow in exactly the same way that you are. And so if you imagine filling out a diary page 10 years ago and then reviewing that page now and then maybe writing a comment about how you felt then, so you can answer and update your answer. So what does money mean to me? You can answer that as when you're 23 and then you can re-answer it when you're 43 because that is a very different answer, I promise. So you can re-answer these questions as you go about life. And what's really cool about that is that it updates, but still keeps a track record of what it was. So you could ask about how you felt. You could also ask about how you feel. And you may even be able to ask about how you could feel because it's got a history of your growth. And so you could even ask it how you may grow in the future. And this is all goal, just very conversational, similar to ChatGPT.
Now, when you talk about when somebody transitions, it's, you know, the family members, especially maybe you didn't have a relationship with somebody or you never even, you know, let go. Maybe it was too soon. Would it be possible to take somebody's information while they're living or their past and now you can kind of share, like if you're just that close with someone where you can share it, which is kind of scary because it's like, oh man, you know everything about me, but this is Black Mirror, you know, season 17. So yeah. let's go. Like, is that possible? And how soon in the future is it now we can do it?
So that is totally possible. It's something we're totally looking into. And then there's very granular controls. So because this is all blockchain based, it's the control that we have over who can and cannot access your information and then what parts of your information can and cannot be accessed is very, very high level of control. And so we can, using AI, we can actually have it respond with only parts of your information, be private about certain aspects of your identity with certain individuals, and then open up more for other individuals. It's totally within the realm of possibility. So we don't have those capabilities built in yet, but that's in our vision. It's already intended to be built and we're planning for that future. So right now what we have is a full-blown app, question and answer pairs. You can answer the questions. So we're recording your answers to questions and we're giving you the analysis and the dashboards. We don't have conversational pushed out yet. We've already got it in R&D and it's working, but we don't have conversational yet. So it's a one-shot question and then you give an answer and then it gives you feedback on that. But then it also gives you feedback on the collection of all of your answers and a dashboard of like how you're feeling collectively. So more towards the anxious side, if you're a more reserved kind of person, if whatever your individual sort of shape looks like, we'll give you the shape. And so you can start recording your content now. And that's the beautiful thing about the way that this works is that you can record your content now and then apply it to a model later. And then it's still relevant content because it's time-based. So you feel the way you feel now, right now, you can record that. We'll get the analysis of it right now. And then we save a lot of that. and provide you the dashboards while we're still early. And then as we build out our capabilities and grow, all that data just gets applied. And so it'll grow as you are right now. So really what's important with AI and really the future is data, the quality of the data that you can provide. And that's really what we've got already, is the ability for you to provide your data right now.
Now, I don't know if you are from Nevada. I know you live there, I believe. Now, how would that change, like, the casinos? If I could tap into the best gamblers, the best chess players, the best whatnot, and tap into their brain and, you know, think like they think, and then take Elon Musk and Neuralink, or maybe you guys get your own thing. And I mean, how is that going to change? And are you at all concerned, like, security wise, like, man, we got something that is going to really change the game?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to hit your questions backwards. So as far as security and privacy,
you got to join our Lucas. Okay, do that all day, man. If you can rap forward and then rap backwards.
Yeah. So on the security and privacy front, you're absolutely correct. A view of the future is this sort of capability is going to exist, where effectively our vision is that you're going to be able to just speak kind of like you do, like your Siri's and your Google's now, your Amazon's now. You're going to be able to speak to them, but they're going to be listening all the time. So your phones are already listening to you all the time. They have to listen to you all the time to trigger off of those keywords. But they tell you that they're throwing away all of that data as they're listening to you all the time for those keywords. And you have to just trust them. This is where we come in, is that we are building the system out where you don't have to trust us. It's blockchain based. And so your data is your data. It is owned by you, and you'll be able to see a record of whenever anyone else accesses it. And they'll only be able to access it after you've given them permission. So it's all highly, highly controlled. And that's my intent and my understanding is that we need that. This capability will exist in the future, and for it to exist, it needs to be fully private, or that data is going to belong to someone else and it's not our data. And I'm not okay with that future. So that's what I'm building. That's the privacy answer. Going back to where does this capability really take us? And I subscribe to the technological singularity that Ray Kurzweil preaches about. So I believe that we are going to reach a technological singularity within like the 2040 timeframe. And what that really means is that technology is going to reach a point in that it grows faster than the human's mind can really perceive, that technology is going to be moving faster than we can really keep up with. And at that point, I think that our lives are going to change significantly, but I don't think that it's going to be, I'm an optimist. And so I think that it's going to be like a utopian sort of future, closer to utopian than dystopian. But my personal belief is that when we hit a technological singularity, technology is going to be escalating and evolving so fast that humans won't be an issue. We will be so unadvanced for it that it won't have to compete with us. But we will still have built it in such a way that we can still utilize it. And in our frame of reference, from our sort of timeline, because it will be moving in time scales that we can't even perceive. Like the growth rate is just, because I mean, if you imagine it reaches a growth rate that is faster than you can perceive, it's still growing at faster than you can perceive and increasing speed. So it's just like a black hole, it's just beyond what we can perceive at that point. But we're still going to have to be able to function in our reality. And so I think that that's kind of how we're going to move forward. And I believe that the technology like MindBank is going to allow us to live forever. So that means right now, digitally, and that means that we can store. MindBank's goal is it's like a triangle of the human. So we have the mind, the body, and the soul. And so what we see, the mind, we're getting through MindBank, and that is questions and answers. And then we're going to build a model around that. And that technology is going to improve over time. we're trying to get a copy of your mind effectively. We're also, we have a product coming out called Body Bank, and Body Bank gets your, like your smartwatch data and your biological system information. And we can correlate those two systems. So you are talking about something and your heart rate raises, we can correlate that, that event. Then we're also going to get genetic data. So like the code that makes you, you, we get the code, we get the current running system, the body, the live metrics from your body, and then we get your mind. And that whole system over time will grow into a digital twin that is effectively a digital version of you, as live and as active, up to date as we can make it. And the reason that is because then we can help towards actual physical immortality. If we can watch the system and we can keep the system under consistent monitoring, we can identify problems immediately. And then with the oncoming of nanotechnologies, it's entirely viable that we could also remedy those problems immediately. And so that looks very like animatronic kind of. We could have nanobots in our cells, just watching each of our cells. And then as your cells go through the life and death cycle, we could easily using a quickly advancing technology that is faster than our perception, we could simply ask it, ChatGPT style, hey, how do we go about reversing the aging process in this biological part, this cell? And then it could inform us, or if we didn't know that already, it could inform us. And we could then just apply that technology to our current nanotechnologies. And then you can effectively just live forever in your current physical form. And I think that that's not too far-fetched of a future with technology moving, all of the different faces of technology moving the way they are, from nanotechnologies to quantum technologies to fusion technologies, blockchain technologies, all of these things kind of moving forward. It's almost an inevitable future in my mind.
I love it. I think people get scared because they might hear it like through the media real quick. But if you read books like The Future is Faster Than You Think, or anything by, you know, Dr. Peter Diamantis and anybody in those circles, you see what's already here that we don't know. It's the reason why CES is always a great conference to go to, because you're like, wait, what does Korea have already?
Yep.
What? And you're shocked. So, you know, for anybody who says, no, we don't want this, you got to, okay, for the top, you know, 1%, that's great. But what about for the inmates? What about for, you know, I tell, hey, don't, the inmates, remember Johnny Cash was playing in San Quentin, and there was a reason he was playing there. You got to do the history. I'm not here to tell everybody's business. But what would you say? You didn't know there was going to be shade like that thrown in, huh?
Oh, I got it. Hit me.
Yeah, neither did I. But what would you say for people who are scared, saying, you know, I think it's scary. That might, there's a time to live, there's a time to die. Scriptures tell it all the time. But what would you say for that person to say, that's too much, we're playing God?
So I have an interesting perspective on God. I grew up very religious, and I would call myself very spiritual still, very, very spiritual. But I don't think that playing God is something that can be avoided. I think that it's just the natural nature of humans. We play God with our children. We create children, bear them, and then we act as if we are their gatekeepers. Their parents are their gatekeepers of their reality. And we're like, hey, I don't want this thing over in my kid's reality, so I'm going to try and steer it away from them. And I want them to know about this, so I'm going to kind of put that in their reality all the time. And so you're playing God in a way with your kids. And so you're also doing it with your Grand Theft Auto, because you're controlling that individual's reality. And it's our nature. So in the Bible, it says that God created man in his form, right? So we are similar to God in a way that we can perceive. And in that sort of scriptural understanding, if you look down at AI, we are creating AI in our understanding of us. So we have an understanding of how neurons work in the brain. that is, we take neurons and we build a machine learning model with neurons. So it's just us doing what we naturally do. And I think that as technology moves forward, if you imagine Grand Theft Auto 40, that capability is going to look just like humans. It's just like a human being running around in a space that you control. And that human is going to have so many sensory inputs because the game is highly capable. The system that is running the game is highly capable. That simulation starts to look like an emulation. It's not necessarily a piece of reality. You're emulating a lot of reality for that little character. Well, now you talk about that character's perception. Are you creating that character that can now perceive all of its surroundings? You perceive that you can pause the game, but when you pause the game, you've paused that character's state. It doesn't see itself as paused. It's just not moving anymore. We could be the same way. God could press pause on us and we wouldn't perceive it. It would just stop. And then he'd press play and it would start going again right where it stopped. And no one would know the wiser. So my perception is that we're going to get there anyways. It's going to happen. I'm looking at technology and what we're doing, what we're building. It's obvious that we're trying to just mimic our own reality. And that will happen. So if you've heard of the simulation theory, or simulation hypothesis, it's effectively what that belief is kind of based out of, is there is a high likelihood that we will create something as similarly to ourselves for testing purposes, for simulation purposes, to a level of advancement that we can just maximize, like get it as close as possible to our reality so we can test things without blowing them up in the real world. We're already doing that. And if you take that sort of desire down 100 years, we're going to end up building our own reality that looks exactly like itself inside of itself. And you can think that any civilization that is advanced, sufficiently advanced, would likely do that for testing purposes in any case. And if you can kind of carry that thought out, there is likely a God, a creation instance that created us. But then there was one potentially that created it too. And then it before that, because we will do one. And then eventually we will become sufficiently advanced to where it will want to create something inside of itself for testing purposes. And the story goes on.
It's like there's a black and white Twilight Zone episode like that, where they're looking at the ants. And then, you know, at the end, they're yeah. looking up at the first time I ever did something like that, I think, was Bill Walsh's football in college, made Kellen 99, strength, everything. Then he graduated, went to the pro edition, because you could do that back then. I don't know if you guys can still do that with games. I hope you can, but your college players go pro, you know, it's amazing thing. And he's, you know, he's a Hulk just of an athlete. Yep. That's before GTA, folks. But let the people know, because, I mean, you have a life's worth of work. Like this, any great thing can't be always done in your lifetime, but you have a life of work right now. But what is a community give back that you're doing, or in the future that, you know, you got you and you, you're the team plan to do?
So one of the things that we're really looking at is there's a concept that's coming out of the blockchain Web3 space. I think your viewer, your audience is a little bit younger, and so they probably pick up on some of that. So the Web3 and the blockchain space, in there, you'll hear a lot about DAOs. These are decentralized autonomous organizations. So this is pretty much just like a company, but the company's bylaws and the way that the company's business operates is encoded in code, and that's put on the blockchain. And so effectively, you have a company that will live forever. And it can be tokenized just like shares of a normal company, except with shares of a normal company, you buy the shares and you're a part owner in the entity, but you don't make decisions. You can speak up during shareholder meetings, but you don't really make decisions. That's for the board. But in a DAO, there is no board. The company exists on the blockchain. And so you build a bunch of tokens and then hand those tokens out. And those are your share owners of this company. And so what we are going to do is not only are our users own their own mind banks, so they are the owners of their data. The system that provides the ability, the mind bank company and all of that that we've provided, that is going to be DAOified. So we are going to give this company to the community eventually. We haven't decided yet if it's upon our CEO's passing, going for the benevolent CEO idea, or if it's going to be earlier than that sometime. But we are going to effectively give the company away to its community, and then that can grow itself. So that is something that we're looking to do for the community. And then secondarily, as we build, large portions of our code base are going to be open source, so that's provided out to the community as well.
Wow. I mean, that's good game. That's good game. And you said, you know, you were spiritual. Now, if you weren't born in Nevada, are you from, because I saw your education, are you from Utah?
No. So I'm actually from SoCal. I'm from the San Bernardino, Los Angeles area. I moved to Utah in high school. And then because my parents couldn't afford California anymore. And so I moved to Utah in high school. And then joined the military. And then I was all around the U.S. from Maryland, Florida to San Diego, Washington. And I got out of the military, went back to Utah, moved to Washington, and now I'm in Nevada.
Gotcha. I'm just thinking the different areas and people and, you know, who can use this. And at the end of the day, everybody can get better. Nobody wants to, work for somebody else forever, unless you really love what you do. I mean, there's doctors, there's lawyers, they really love what they do. But I would say majority of the people, when I see them in the grocery store, they don't want to be there, not for life, you know, and that's sometimes people, what else am I going to do? They're stuck. I've been there before. I've been there sitting in the oil field, stuck making a good amount of money, but I've also cleaned oil pipe and like, man, this money ain't worth it. It's better to be the driver.
Yep. It's better to always learn what you're doing. If you can learn, that's the best investment you can make. Invest in yourself. Because if you're learning while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, you're making yourself better. It's like compounding interest, but in yourself. So just constantly learn. Don't stop learning. No matter what you do, find a way to learn something out of it.
My first client was Ken Ivey. You guys know him from the streets, the executive suites. You've seen him in the music videos. But, you know, I was a kid in college, and he said, I used to hide my books underneath the bed because I didn't want my ladies to know that I was studying and I was in school. And I was, you know, and now you guys see him with, you know, you see the books and you guys can Google the name. I didn't use the other title because, you know, it is what it is. People mature, people go to other levels. Can you tell the people where they can connect with you and where your future podcast and our YouTube or however you're going to put it out? Because you're like a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, the people are going to be asking me, hey, Killen, where can I get more? So I'm going to put the pressure on you and let you decide.
Yeah. So that's been in the works for a while. I'm still trying to figure out on a personal note where to put me out there. And I think that MindBank is kind of like the direction I'm going. So I'll segue a little bit on your question, but one of the things that we're doing with MindBank is we're building services, third-party sort of services around this data. So we have a tool called Soul, Soundtrack of Universal Life. And what it does is you can submit an answer to one of these questions, and it will take the tone of the answer and it will identify music that is similar to your answer and your tone, and it will overlay your answer over the music. And so it makes a soundtrack or a musical rendition of your answer. And so those are the kinds of third-party services that we're thinking about getting into. And so what you're asking about is kind of like a podcast or a way for people to ask me questions and then for me to answer. And that is something that I've been thinking a lot about. And that's a third party service that I think that we're going to be attaching to MindBank. So as I build out my MindBank, not only would you be able to submit questions that I could choose personally to answer. And you may be able to attach a fee to that question. So, hey, here's $100 or whatever and answer my question. And so you can actually have that capability. But then also, if I've already answered a question or if my mind bank is capable of answering for me, we would want you to be able to ask a question and then it will just provide the answer, like me. So very, very interesting service capabilities around a mind bank for individuals. So imagine that on someone who isn't a nobody, but is like we had said, like a Steve Jobs or someone who's known and their wealth of knowledge is already appreciated in the industry and is highly sought after. They can simply monetize them their own mind effectively as a SaaS capability. But my current where you can reach anything doing MindBank is contact@mindbank.ai, or if you want to reach out to me individually, I'm Andrew@mindbank.ai. But there's been a few ideas I've tossed around, man. So like I thought about doing YouTube, I've thought about doing a podcast, but I don't have anything set in stone yet. So I'm just pushing out, working on MindBank, working on some other personal projects and stuff that are all going to loop into MindBank. And when I get to the point where I'm not working so hard and I can actually get to a podcast and something like that, it's something I wanted to do. I love sitting down and shooting the shit with people, man. I love it. And so
Other projects, are any of them in entertainment, music, movies, anything that you have going on?
Somewhat, yeah, actually.
I read minds. I try not to read you all the way, but I didn't want to leave without, you know, you talking about that briefly.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I'm working a little bit in the NFT space, but I work on I am trying to find artists. I work on the technical side, but I have a passion for art. And so I'm trying to find artists that can help bring the vision to life. Because I don't do art very well myself with my own hands. So I'm a technical guy. It's mainly hit me up. So personally, you can hit me up at weedpatch.2@gmail.com. That's my personal. Anything artistic. I'm in the NFT space. So I work in a lot of licensing as well. So individuals having the power to license their own product and then sell it to their fan base. I'm very into that as well. So, anyone with any interest near mine, feel free to hit me up.
And be clear, you guys, he told you everything that he publicly wants to know, so you don't have to hit him up and say, well, what about that THC? Because it's just a name. It's you know, I'm sure as a kid, oh man, that had him rolling in class every time they did roll call. But you see what he's into.
I've been weed since fifth grade. My fifth grade teacher called me Mr. Weed, and then from there, everyone's just called me Weed.
Yeah. And that's why I see, if not music, some type of movie play on the name, and then just, you know, you just flip them because you know that you shock people every time, you know, you get into it. And I loved at CES, you guys, this again is how he was dressed. A lot of people felt they had to put on their suits and their ties, but if that's not you, it don't be you. Be comfortable, y'all. Be comfortable. Be you. So I thank you. Any last words, though? Let me not cut you.
No, for real. That's MindBank. One of MindBank's slogan is learn what makes you, you. And that's one of our main focuses is the power back to the individual is the beauty in humanity lies in the human, not in how we can all collectively be the same thing. So be yourself, be an individual.
Man, yada da mean, as Yuck Mouth would say, you guys have been blessed by the game. I'm going to have his partner on. It's going to go back to back probably, but you know, I'm not in control of all that. But that's what I'm telling him right now. But I'm telling you guys how I want it to roll. You guys have been blessed by the game. Links will be in the description. I know most of you are listeners, but go over to the YouTube, go listen, go share it with somebody. It will change their life. You guys be blessed.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course, Prepare for My First Trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand, or 10,000 Kenyan shillings, or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip, starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.